description of mind easy. Knowing true experience of mind is not easy. Our daily life, the sensorial consciousness are dominant generally. The real mind or sixth mind or the essential nature of consciousness somehow covered by these sort of sensorial experiences. So therefore, first, according to my own little experience and also some of my friend practitioners' experience, first, we deliberately try to stop past memory and future sort of visions, then completely ignore about sensorial experiences, seeing, hearing these things. Then that moment, you feel some kind of empty because all thought or sensorial consciousness deliberately try to stop. Stop means sensorial consciousness there, but mental consciousness not pay attention. Then sensorial consciousness become inactive, weak. Then the mental level sort of was the mind, the past memory, future sort of visions, these also is a stop. Then a short moment you feel some kind of empty. Remain there consciously. Then gradually you feel, you get some kind of feeling of clear water or mirror through sensorial consciousness or some other sort of thought. Different things reflect itself, just pure, nothing, something like that. That way is the way to get some sort of experience or some knowledge through experience about mind or the central mind or the main mind like that. Then usually the word clear light, and once we stay or remain there longer period, then grosser level of mind eventually become weak. At the more subtler level, become then active. Then ultimately, very subtle level. When very subtle level consciousness experience, then all sensorial level more or less stop. So like deep sleep. Differences through training. Usually is deep sleep, no sort of conscious, or no memory or these things. But through training, even deep level of unconscious level, but still conscious. These are not easy. You need lots of effort, lot of training. Or time is a major factor.
Milarepa described the ordinary mind as being like muddy water. Do you like that description?
Well, yes.
Clear the water.
There are two meanings. One meaning, mind with afflicted emotion, that also one meaning of muddy water. Another sort of meaning, the mind with grosser level of mind, that also meaning of muddy water. Because this is the grosser level of mind or thought there, all these afflicted emotion are the level of grosser level of mind. So once grosser level of mind cease, then these destructive emotion never arise. So the afflicted emotion itself is part of muddy water of mind, like that. Milarepa's song. He is not necessarily a very great sort of scholar, but through his own experience, it's the essence is very clear. Wonderful person. If we carry debate with Milarepa, I think we can defeat him. But his experience, nobody can defeat. Really marvelous.
When we talk about the mind, I think people are very confused as to the relationship between our mind and our brain. They often think it's the same thing. Could you talk a little bit about the relationship between mind and brain and what that relationship is?
Brain or neurons, these, I think, basis of different mental experience or different sort of experiences. And more grosser level of mind, more sort of dependent on this physical part. including brain, neuron, these things. More subtler sort of mind, more or less depend on brain. And very, very subtle, ultimate subtle level mind is not depend on brain. Brain function completely cease, but subtle mind still exists within the body. That usually uses people after death, clinically death. Body still remain fresh. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, like that. It happened. Not only Buddhists, also some Hindus, some Christians also, some old body, still remain, looks fresh. So that, scientifically, no explanation. But the tradition which accept different level of mind, we have something to say. Another way to look this, mind always combined with subtle energy. We call lung. I usually call energy, because its very nature is movement. So mind, even grosser level of mind, its movement depend on that energy. So through practice, that energy stop, for example, anger, the energy of that anger, through practice, stop energy of the anger. Anger no longer function. That's way. So therefore, that energy, grosser level, entirely based on nerve system and brain also. So it is, I think, interesting to carry some further sort of test. People who, through yoga practice, some way to control that energy, including breathing, maybe activities about brain, something different. Now already, some my scientists, some my friend as a scientist, they already found through training of mind, actually some change take place through sort of investigation. Some people who many years, you see, some meditation, some training, their brain, some using differences they found. And also the physical level, even 1 week or 2 weeks short of training about mind, blood pressure change, reduce. Stress also reduce. Their mind becoming more calm. So their relations with their companions, their classmate, becoming much more peaceful. So, grosser level, mind depend on brain. It's no question. But still, brain is something like basis. Mind is based on that. So essentially separate. So brain change, some emotion change, some sort of way of thinking or emotion change, brain also some effect. These two things heavily dependent, interdependent. So usually, half joke, the mental level or emotional level, very, very sophisticated. At the brain level or physical sort of reaction is concerned, less or sophisticated. For example, tear, sometimes painful experience, very sad experience, tear come. Sometimes very happy, overjoy, tear come. Sometimes just laughing, also the tear come. Causes of that physical reaction, big differences. One, overjoys. One, very sad. Emotional level, big differences. But physical reaction, same. So physical level is very foolish. No ability to distinction happiness or unhappiness. So therefore, I sometimes see, even if with the scientist at our conference, if our physical is quite clever, tear come from joyfulness must come from right eye. Tear out of sadness, fear, that tear come from this side. That physical level have some ability of distinction.
And I suppose terminology becomes quite confusing when you're talking about the mind. And some people talk about the self very confidently, and they assume maybe the mind and the self are the same things. Could you kind of untangle that relationship for us?
Yes. Even among Buddhist philosophical school of philosophy, many of them consider the entity of self ultimately is the mind. But another Buddhist school of thought, self is designated on the combination of body and mind. And mind is part of the basis to designate self, not self itself. So mind and self is different. Mind is part of the basis of designation of self. But self is separate. But we cannot identify self itself. Therefore, Buddhist concept, selflessness. No soul, no self, independent self. Self is there, myself, themself, ourself. Self is there, but we cannot pinpoint, this is self. Therefore, we call no soul, no self. That's a typical sort of view or unique view about Buddhist philosophy.
The Buddhist idea of mind being beginningless and endless. Could you explain that to us?
So the Buddhist view is no beginning of consciousness or mind. Not only mind, but matter's also no beginning. Continuation of the matter, no beginning. In a particular case, yes, there's beginning. Even each day, each minute, or each second is a beginning. All the matter's momentarily changing. In atom level, now today, according to the scientific sort of way, atom level, even more subtle level, always changing. So, one new thing happen, that die, another thing is to come. So that's its own continuation is concerned, no beginning. Because the matter as well as mind both come from continuation of same nature. Therefore, matter's no beginning. Similarly, mind also no beginning. That's Buddhist view. The main reason is those phenomena which momentarily changing must come from its own causes. Among the causes, the substantial causes and cooperative causes. So substantial causes is concerned must be same nature. So matter never causing or substantial cause of mind. Mind never substantial cause for matter. Two separate things. So that's Buddhist way. And then one factor, there are cases, person who clearly remember about past life. So that's not only Buddhism, but also, you see, many ancient Indian philosophical views. They believe, they accept rebirth, life after life. So, no beginning. I think the substantial causes of our brain also no beginning. For example, my brain, my parent, parent's parent, go like that 100,000 years ago, different form of sort of human being, 5 billion years ago, still today is my brain substance, some sort of particle, already there. When Big Bang take place, the particle already there. So even before Big Bang, there must be some sort of basis of tremendous energy. So before Big Bang, there are some kind of subtle particles already there. So that also come from its own previous continuation, like that. So therefore, today's my brain's sort of particle, ultimately, even that time, the substance, there. But till combined with my mind, then not my sort of particle or brain like that. Till my mind combined, my parents' or semen or blood is not part of my body. Once my mind consciousness is combined, then it becomes my body like that, my sort of essential. My body like that.